Welcome to the Honestly Carly podcast, the truth about staying strong, sane, and seen in midlife. This is the podcast where fitness, hormone health, and real life collide, hosted by me, Carly Corrigal, midlife PT and former lawyer. I'm here with honest conversations about what it actually takes to feel incredible over 40, because yep, that's still possible. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Honestly Carly podcast. I hope you've had a great week, and I wanted to say a massive thank you actually for all of your messages on last week's pod. And this really just felt like the obvious place to go after last week, especially with all the chat about body image and getting older and focusing on different things. So it's a bit of a personal one, but I want to share it with you because in my 20s, in my 30s, I used to be the fit one. And I hope you know what I mean by that. Maybe you were her too, but exercise in my life was just kind of handled. It wasn't even like a question, do I, don't I? I ran. Oh my God, I ran a lot. It was my thing. It was part of my identity. People came to me for advice on it. I mean, obviously, I'm a PT, so yes, they came to me for advice as a PT, but also before that, you know, friends, family, people would come to me and ask me what I thought about training for this or training for that. And it'd be like, oh, yeah, ask Carly, she knows. And I was just the one who was active, the one who kind of had it sorted, who really enjoyed her workouts. And then I hit my 40s and basically my body sent me a memo. Extremely pointed one at that, and I couldn't ignore it anymore. And for me, that showed up as being riddled with injuries. The sort of one that really got me down was plantar fasciitis, because it just kept on going. And to anybody who is struggling with this plantar fasciitis thing and feels like it will never go away, my friend, if you treat it right, it will go away, but it does feel like that at the time. And the number of mornings that I'd step out of bed, put my feet on the floor and go, ah, it feels like my feet are going to crack in half. It was hellish. And you know, I kept on running through it, I'll be honest, and I got to a point where I couldn't really do that anymore. I was also really tired all the time. I had so many weird little aches, pains and niggles, actually, you know, more than just kind of creaky knees. It was the small joints in my hands that were sort of failing me and actually burning when I was trying to teach my classes. I just felt like a bit of a broken woman. My back was bad. I've talked about my back before here on here. I've got a disc issue and I had some absolutely debilitating bouts of sciatica. God, this is turning into a real moan fest, isn't it? But, you know, what I want to talk about is not about the physical side of this, but actually about the embarrassment of it. Oh my God, I turned into that woman that would just moan constantly. I mean, I felt like if anyone asked me how I was, I just couldn't go into it. My husband would say to me, oh, how was your day? And I felt like it was just like, well, you know, my foot hurts and my back hurts and my knee hurts and this hurts and that. You know, it was just so frustrating and embarrassing. And, you know, I'm a personal trainer. This is supposed to be my thing, right? Who am I to be struggling with this stuff all the time? And as loads of you tell me week in, week out, we get these shape changes as we head into sort of the perimenopause years. And I've done whole episodes on this, the sort of the weight gain around the middle that we experience, which is completely normal, by the way. But my tummy had completely changed shape as well. And I looked like I was 4 months pregnant. I mean, I'm no stranger to shape changes because I always showed early in pregnancy and could never hide it from anybody. That's the joys of being 5'1". But I felt like I needed to hide this behind floaty tops, baggy t-shirts when I was teaching. And I just felt genuinely self-conscious. I was like, oh my God, I'm supposed to be better at this. You know, I'm supposed to be the fit one. What is going on? And the bit I think really got to me was that I just kept questioning my own right to do my job, which sounds insane now when I reflect on it. I mean, it's totally not about the way you look. Obviously, we're factoring in some pretty annoying niggly injuries here as well. But I just felt like, who am I to stand in front of women and talk about getting fit and strong and feeling brilliant when, frankly, I'm doing sod all about it myself? So that's where we're starting today, my friends, because I think a lot of you might recognise something in that story. And I want to talk about what happens next and what I actually did. to try to change things around, because I'm in a completely different place here, kind of 5 years on. And more importantly, what is actually still possible for you? Because I think we put these limitations on ourselves sometimes, and midlife doesn't need to be the start of a decline, right? I'm not having it. Not bloody having it. And my friends, I don't think you should either. Okay, so here's the thing. I know you're all like, well, what did you do, Carly? What did you do? Everyone was like, well, come on then, give me the secret sauce. But in that instance, what I needed wasn't a new training plan. Well, I mean, I did need that, but that wasn't the real work. That wasn't the real shift, okay? What I actually needed, and it's going to be a bit cheesy and transformational, this, and I apologize for it, because as you know me, I am not very woo-woo and this stuff doesn't come naturally to me. But I suppose what it was to kind of like shed my old skin, to let go of these labels I put on myself, to let go of being the runner, the fit one, I'm doing like air quotes the whole time, the sort of whole identity that I built around competence in my body, and to genuinely learn to be a beginner at something totally new, which is uncomfortable, all right? Especially, I'll be honest, when your whole professional identity is tied up in physical capability and being able to lead people and demonstrate stuff and be like, oh, that's how we should be doing it. That's the correct form. Oh, look at her. You know, it's hard, right? I had to suck at things, properly suck at things for a while, right? Lift lighter than felt acceptable. And I know that feeling. You know, women come to me all the time. They start training with me, inside train with Carly, and they message me and say, I'm not lifting anywhere near as heavy as you. Or, I've got these puny little weights. And I'm like, no, 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 no. We all have to start somewhere, right? I felt clunky and uncoordinated, and I had to start from scratch. And honestly, that was harder than the physical side of things. Okay. That getting that into my head and just being like, that's okay. That is okay. That was the hardest bit. And, you know, I had to do a lot of mindset work alongside all of this, a lot, right? And I can tell you now with absolute certainty, we all have wobbly bits and saggy skin and stretch marks and blemishes and this and that, right? That's just what being a human being looks like, not a polished, filtered, doing it for the gram person, all right, who can only stand in one position and be photographed, get my best side, right? But letting go of that, my God, if we can get through that, it is freeing in a way I genuinely cannot fully put into words. There is so much good stuff on the other side, all right? But here's what I really want you to take from my story, because this is the important bit, my friends. It's not a story about decline. It is a story about transition, right? And those two things are very, very different. And you can have that for yourself, whatever that looks like for you. Midlife is not this kind of full stop. All right. It's like a little ellipsis at the end of your sentence. Okay. It's the dot, dot, dot. Now, before we go any further, and I've obviously mentioned the tummy, et cetera, et cetera. And I know that there'll be some of you listening who are like, well, I thought we weren't meant to care about how we look. So I want to name something that I think goes on in the background for quite a lot of women, because I felt it myself and I do hear it in conversations with my clients, with my friends, in the groups that I run. Okay. There's this tension, right, between caring about how your body is changing and not wanting to be seen as shallow or vain or obsessed with your appearance. And for intelligent women, self-aware women, women who consider themselves grounded and feminist and all those good things, right, that internal conflict is really real. There's this nagging voice going, well, should I even care about this? Does wanting to feel good in my body make me like an anti-feminist? Am I a bad feminist? Am I falling for the trap of tying my self-worth to my appearance? Oh God, I'm literally a slave to the patriarchy, right? And you know what I see happening because of that tension? I see women dismissing their own discomfort because they're telling themselves that they shouldn't care. They are shaming themselves for caring. But then they lose that confidence anyway, because the feelings don't just go away because you've decided they're not allowed. So they're still there. And that is really hard. And often it bubbles up when I'm coaching somebody and, you know, it might be that they're in my VIP or we have a one-to-one together. And I can hear the emotion in her voice. I can see the tears in her eyes when she's just like, and I just don't like the way I look. And I know that shouldn't matter, but it does. And I'm like, why shouldn't it matter? Right? Why shouldn't it matter? I want to say this as clearly as I can, and I hope this like goes in, if you're thinking along these lines, you can absolutely care about your body composition, your strength, your shape, all of these things, okay, and still be an intelligent, grounded, thoroughly feminist woman, right? Caring about your external appearance, caring about your capability, you know, all of these things. It's not vanity, right? You look at it this way. Your body is like the vehicle for your entire life, right? There is nothing shallow or self-centered about wanting to feel strong and capable and genuinely at home in your own skin. Nothing. So can we just leave that to one side, all right? Can we just try and find a happy balance here where we are not feeling like our entire self-worth is tied to the way we look on the outside, but we don't shame ourselves for having a degree of pride in our personal appearance, all right? Okay, so moving on. That was my little segue. Where does this story come from? The one that says that midlife is decline and your job is just to manage it and it's just the way it is from here on in. And we've all got those relatives, the ones that are from the older generation, perhaps, that like to say to us, oh, well, you just have to accept it. It's just part of getting older. Oh, that's just how it is now. Oh, wait until you're in your 60s. Wait until you're in your 70s. Wait until you get to 80. Oh, yes. Well, you know, you think it's bad now. Well, I mean, I have them. Do you have them, right? It, frankly, is everywhere, isn't it? It's baked into the language we use. This whole anti-aging, like aging is something that we must avoid at all costs, that we really have to, you know, not engage with, that we need to push as far away, like kink and newt holding back the tides, right? It's in everything marketed at us. It's in the decades of women's health research, do not get me started on this, that was essentially ignored because we're too complicated, right? And don't, you know, once we get into perimenopause, that's a really weird anomaly that we don't want to be looking at. It's in the absence, until really quite recently, of kind of strong female role models in their 50s and 60s who are visibly genuinely thriving. And even now, you know, they're talked at as being good for their age, or, you know, doing this at 65. And you're like, well, yeah, 65, great. But like, why do we have to throw the age into the mix here? Why are we talking about it like it's so fucking remarkable that women who aren't 20 are doing things with their lives? Hello? It's those Instagram posts, I don't know if you've seen them, where they're looking at like the Golden Girls actresses and saying, well, they were this age when they filmed this. Doesn't it make you feel old? And I'm like, well, it's just an age, just a number, isn't it? Like, get over it, seriously. Because here's what I actually see from my side of this, and I hope this is going to be illuminating, because I know not everyone, well, unless you're another PT listening to this, working with midlife women, then most people won't see this. But I see women getting stronger in their 50s than they were in their 30s. I have my own clients doing things at, you know, 60, doing things that they couldn't do at 40, because they've finally got their shit together, got a training approach that is made for them, actually built for them, and it's working. They are getting strong. They are seeing that change, that growth in themselves, right? At a point where society and life is telling us we have to kind of fade into the background and be weak and take the supporting role. No, 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 no. They're building something. Like, you're actually growing and changing because of the training that you're doing. How amazing is that? I think about my own mum. She's one of those women. I think about the women in my programs who message me, not to say, oh, I'm chuffed to bits, I've dropped a dress size, but to say, oh my God, I've just had to buy some more weights. I hate you. Where am I going to fit them? What's your best tip for storing weights? Because I've grown out of the last ones. I can deadlift those easy now. Or they've been for a run and they're like, actually, I've only just noticed this, but my knees have stopped hurting. Or they're able to get up from the floor without using their hands, which, by the way, is a skill for life that if you're not able to do it, we need to start training that right now. These are not stories of decline, my friends. They are stories of expansion. So genuinely, who says the best has to be behind us? Who says that? And on that note, I want to tell you about something I did recently, because I keep coming back to it in my own mind, and it's become like a little anchor point of the last few months, because it gave me a kind of clarity that I think is actually more valuable than the sort of sum of its parts. You're like, what the hell are you on about, Carly? Right, well, I'm going to explain. So you might remember Dr. Katie Armstrong, the founder of Clinic 51, Women's Health and Menopause Clinic. She's been on the pod before, and she is absolutely brilliant. And they've recently launched a new service which is kind of focused on your long-term health span, and we're going to come on to health span in a minute. Oh, it feels incredibly timely. In fact, no, I'm going to come on to it now, right? Because this is another thing. So we've had some research out at the end of April that looks at the health span of different nations, okay? And when we're talking about health span, we're talking about the number of years that people are living in good health. And what we've seen here in the UK is that between the years 2012 and 2014 to 2022 and 2024, the healthy life expectancy, health span in the UK fell by two years, yeah, in healthy Western society. So we should be only expecting to live this healthy lifespan until the age of 60.7 for men and 60.9 for women. And I think that's bloody terrifying, right? That is below state pension age. But there's also this massive gap. And don't get me started on the inequality here, because actually there is a gap from the richest to the poorest in society of 20 years in terms of living in good health, which is just appalling. But that's not what we're talking about here today. Anyway, shockingly, the UK is one of only five high-end countries that are dropping in terms of the number of years we can be expecting to live in good health. We have the second steepest decline, and we are now 20th, ranked 20th. Only the US is lower. So I am all about living a long, healthy life. Okay, I'd love to live to 120, but I don't want the last 40 of those years to be in a state where I'm dependent on other people, where I can't get on and off the loo, where I can't live independently, I can't go out for walks, I can't have adventures. And maybe, you know, I don't know what's around the corner for me in my life, but I'm going to give myself the best bloody start on this, okay? So back to Clinic 51. They've recently launched this new service, and it's called Prevent 51, focused on this long-term health span. And living longer is one thing, but living well is something else entirely. And that is what we're looking at here. So I road tested some of their services at my own cost, right? Not an ad. To be completely upfront about that. But I was fascinated. So when I had a chat to Katie about their new services, I was like, right. She said, would you fancy giving some of this a go? I was like, sure I do. I'm really intrigued. So I had a full body DEXA scan, and I've talked about that on here on the podcast. Go back, have a listen. Previous podcast on bone health. So that's measuring, I didn't just look at my bones, but also looking at my muscle mass and my body fat distribution. And I also had some specialist blood work done, which is looking at inflammatory markers, which links into this idea that is emerging in science around inflammaging. So it's chronic low-grade inflammation that tends to increase as we age, and it can affect your health span in the long term, because so many conditions and so much disease is linked to inflammation. And I'm not going to go into the details of my results, but they were good, right? My bones are not crumbling. I'm not secretly harboring alarming levels of visceral fat, and inflammation, trying to say fat and inflammation in one sentence, is in a healthy range, right? And yes, absolutely, on a personal level, there was relief in that, okay? But the relief, and this is coming back to more than just the physical here, wasn't just about the results. It was the clarity, okay? So I know now from these results that the path I'm on with the things I'm doing for my health is the right one. All I really need to do, and I know this is easier said than done, right? Because life chucks us the curveballs, and that is midlife, but is keep going. And I tell you what, talking about things being freeing, when you can genuinely shut out the noise, you know, the next supplement, the next protocol, the influencer telling you that their method is the only method, blah, blah, blah. But when you actually know that what you're doing is working, you can just focus. You can give it everything. And that matters so much, because it is very hard to give something your all when you're not convinced it's working. And I think that's honestly why so many women in midlife can drop off from exercise, because when you are getting all the things that I was talking about, the chronic tiredness, the aches, the pains, the niggles, your body shape is changing, you're like, is this even working, what I'm doing? Like, what's the point? It only seems to make things worse. And we've all got that person in our life, you know, if you complain about achy knees and goes, oh, well, you shouldn't be running then. That's what exercise does to you. Oh, yes. Listen to you moan, right? We all know someone like that. But it gets in your head, doesn't it? It honestly gets in your head. And I think We start to accept these things as just a part of getting older, because it's in our culture, it's in how we talk to one another, it's how we speak to ourselves. But you shouldn't have to put up with any of this shit. And I just want to pause here for a second, because I want to ask you something, right? Is there something that you've accepted, right, without sort of even acknowledging it, that you don't actually have to accept? Just something you've kind of filed under, well, you know, that's just midlife now, that's just my body now. Have a think about that. Because I want to say something about this, because I think it's worth being clear. The fact that I've got clarity from my own testing that I know my path is working doesn't mean that I've stopped looking. Quite the opposite. Anyone that knows me, anyone that sees my email inbox and the Google Scholar alerts, right? I'm constantly in the research. New studies on resistance training for perimenopausal women, new evidence on protein and muscle synthesis as we age, new understanding of intensity, recovery. Like, I read it all. I interrogate it. Okay. And if something genuinely flies, if the evidence there supports a change, it filters into what we do inside my programs, inside the reboot, inside Train with Carly. Okay. But for me, I carry that job. My clients don't need to carry it. The programming for me evolves thoughtfully, like based on the evidence and what I'm living through. So you don't need to be across every study or chase every new thing. You just need to show up and do it. And that peace of mind is absolutely invaluable, I think, because you don't actually need to kind of be going down all these blind alleys every 5 minutes and being taken off in all these different directions. Anyway, I digress. So I just wanted to make it clear that I'm still looking at things. I still have that thirst for knowledge that I had all those years ago. It's still there. It's still alive and well. But I just know that deep down, I'm on the right path. Okay, I'm on the right path. And that is so, so valuable. And I want that for you as well. So back to where we started. You know, I used to be the fit one, and then I wasn't, and I had to let that go. I had to pretty much start again, feel a bit shit at things for a while, do a hell of a lot of work on my mindset and kind of come out the other side. And genuinely, I'm stronger, I'm in better health than when I was just carrying on that little hamster wheel, literally running myself into the ground. And for me, that is a story of what could have been a decline, but then wasn't. Okay, it's not a decline story. It's like a possibility story. And I would love for us to think about that being what midlife actually is. When you stop accepting that negative narrative that's been handed to you, it's not about just coping and putting up with stuff. It's absolutely not about shrinking and shrinking the things that you do, shrinking what you're confident to put your body through, shrinking the activities that you used to love because you're like, well, that hurts my knees. Okay. It's not about lowering your expectations of yourself behind the scenes. It's about building a body and a life that still feels expansive and adventurous and full of possibility. Okay, you do not have to settle for standard. There will be people who are naysayers who will be like, who do you think you are? But who cares about them, right? Who actually gives a toss? And I believe me when I say, like, the best, it might genuinely be still ahead of you. And I really hope that it is. That is my wish for myself as well. Right, again, it's been a bit of a rant this, but I'm loving sharing this stuff with you. And if any of this has landed for you today, then I would absolutely love to hear from you. So come and find me on Instagram at Carly Corrigal and tell me, especially if you, like, you know, you can see yourself in that whole The Fit One thing until you weren't, because you are out there. I know you are. And I want to know about it. And yeah, if you want to work with someone who's genuinely built a training approach and a lifestyle approach around women in midlife that is based on evidence, it's adaptive, because it's not just sat there stagnating, it's none of the noise. That's exactly what Train with Carly and the reboot are. So I'm going to pop the links to both of those in the show notes. Please subscribe, follow, whatever it's called, on your podcast platforms, and share this with friends who need to hear it, because it's so important that we get that message out there and we just want more for ourselves. Let's raise our expectations, people. Have a cracking rest of your week, and I will see you next time. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to Honestly Carly. If you love today's chat, then why not share it with a friend? Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you're feeling really kind, leave a 5-star review. I'll see you next time for more honest chat and science-backed strategy for feeling strong, confident, and capable in midlife. Have a great week.